Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good day, everybody. As my wife just told you, I'm Bishop Randy Dean. This is the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values than love devolve and are potentially BS. I'm so honored that you chose to give me the pleasure of your time for the next 30 minutes. This is a weekly exercise for me and a delightful one at that. I look forward to bringing these broadcasts to you twice a week so that we can enroll more and more folks in what I'm learning to call the school of love. Love is the greatest treasure, value, and pursuit of any human life. When life is finished, I think all of us are going to have a review internally, if not externally, that talks to ourself about how we lived love. I think we won't lay in our deathbeds. We won't reach the last moments of our life and review how much money we made, how much more money we wish we'd made. I don't think anything like that's going to matter one whit. I think what's going to matter to us in those final moments will be, did I love well? Was I loved? And was I loving? And to that end, it's my charge in life. I take it as a calling. I take it as a personal command from heaven on high to my heart to enroll folks in an ongoing curriculum of love. The curriculum of love is what I want to talk to you about today. How do we each write our own curriculum? I think all of our love is like our fingerprint. I'm not going to love exactly like you, and you're not going to love exactly like me, but there are principles that we can build our love fingerprint based on. So as we write our own curriculum of love, it's important to be true to yourself, true to your own desires, your own goals, your own hobbies, your own profession, your own family. Be true to you. Last week we talked quite a bit about loving yourself. You can't love your neighbor adequately if you're not adequately loving yourself. To love yourself is not a selfish pursuit. Now wait. Let me correct that. It could become selfish if we just devolve down into that without anything else going on. But if we'll stay true to the curriculum of love, if we'll stay true to writing our own curriculum through life, then I think we'll love ourselves well. And in loving ourselves well, we'll give ourselves grace, we'll give ourselves mercy, forgiveness. We'll move along through failure, through stumbles, and through successes, and we'll keep ourselves on target to hit that beautiful, majestic, epic reach for love, the reach for love. And how do we get there? Well, it's going to take a curriculum. And again, I think each curriculum is pretty unique to every human being. So let's talk about the school of love and the curriculum you're writing in that school. I'm very much committed to telling people that your life isn't just a secular life, a physical life, a work life. You're not just on this planet to dust the end table and to wash clothes and to dig holes or plant seeds. Well, those are necessary elements of life, but those are not the end result of life. I'm not here just to see to it that my labor is done. I'm here, you're here for spirituality. So that's where I live, eat, and breathe, and sleep. Is spirituality is huge. It's important for every human being to recognize that we're not humans on a spiritual journey. We're spirits on a human journey. We're not just humans adding on a little bit of spirituality, like we put on a bright color shirt or a brand new pair of pants, or shine our shoes so we have some spirituality. No. We're spirits. We are spirits on a human journey, a very human journey, a human journey full of pain, disappointments, excitement, elatement, a human journey full of surprises and disappointments that are heartbreaking, a very human journey. But when we recognize this, this human journey is wrapped around the core, the throbbing core of spirituality, well, now this human journey takes on a much higher meaning. It takes on a greater value, really. And I'm convinced all of us will live for eternity. We will all live for eternity. What will our eternity look like? Well, look at your life right now. Where is it? What's the trajectory today? If the trajectory is spiritual, that's my first point here about writing the curriculum of love for the school of love in your life. Keep your trajectory deeply spiritual so that when you're up and around in the day-to-day routines, that you're sustaining meditation on those good things. Whatever is of greatness, goodness, excellence, good pursuits, happiness, joy, whatever brings you joy, whatever brings you sincere, honest pleasure, then meditate on these things. Think on these things. And when you think on those things, remember that's part of meditation. See, meditation isn't about emptying your mind, though some of us could I'm candidate number one here. We could tend to declutter our life, our thinking life. But meditation is about filling your mind with the right stuff. Have you ever found that when you try to pray that, or when you try to meditate, that other thoughts come racing through, you know, all the priorities, the list of to-do stuff just comes crowding in on you? I don't know that there's ever any way we can make all of that stop, but here's one way I've learned to manage that. When some of my to-do list crowds in on my prayer time or on my meditation, I take that as a signal to pray about that. So no matter how mundane the little item may be that comes flying through my mind while I'm praying, well, then I take that little rascal and I hold that up in prayer. I take that little varmint and I say, hey, you come here. Since you came in and interrupted my prayer time or my meditation time, I'm going to hold you into a spiritual value. And it's one way to manage it. You know, you treat it like a little varmint or a little critter that came running through your thought life, and you say, hey, come here. Hold on a second. If you're going to get into my prayer life, well, then you're going to pray along with me. You're going to meditate along with me. So here you go. And that may be a little silly to say it that way, but I'm trying to make a point. I do want you to understand we're all struggling with meditation and prayer. You know, we're on a spiritual, we are all spirits on a human journey. But you know, as humans, our spirits are struggling to sustain a living for us while we have all the human stuff that's all around us. So sustaining something that is carefully crafted toward everything aimed at spirituality, everything, because another part of writing your curriculum is this. It is knowing that there's no difference between sacred and secular. Listen to that carefully. There's no difference between sacred and secular. I used to, many, many years ago, used to say, well, I have a sacred calling. I have a sacred job as a pastor. Well, that's really not true. I have a secular life too, you know, a secular life. But I've learned my secular is equal to the sacred. I take everything in terms of the sacred. Whatever my hand reaches out to do, well, then that's sacred. I work a part-time job distributing food for senior citizens in financial need and nutrition insecurity in a 7-county region around here, Western Wisconsin. And there's a whole lot of physical labor to that. There's about 700 boxes a month that go out, and I coordinate packing them, loading them on a truck, actually unloading a semi of those items, and then loading a truck, and then delivering those. So there's a lot of physicality to it. But in order for me to track how I sustain my love life, how I sustain the school of love in Randy Dean, how I can sustain real, vital, robust spirituality, is I see everything I'm doing at some level as spiritual. This isn't sacred when I'm over here, and this isn't secular when I'm over there. No, it's all spiritual. There's no difference between sacred and secular. So in my duties with getting this food prepared and gathered for 700 clients around the area, it's important for me to remember. In fact, what I call it, I like blessing the food before it arrives on their tables. When I call for volunteers, I say, come help us bless the food before it lands on the tables of these dear souls. And then when I see these dear souls, I'm challenged to look into the eyes of genuinely beautiful God's gift in my life, these beautiful spiritual folk, because they're every one of them spiritual. Whether they've ever attended a church service in their life, they're still spiritual. It keeps me targeted. It keeps me alive to love. You see that? I'm in a curriculum writing for Randy Dean that looks like the studies that Randy Dean needs to do. It looks like the research Randy Dean needs to do. It looks like the homework Randy Dean needs to do, so that my school of love is robust. It's active. It's passionate. And it's just again, it sustains my life at a different plane, at a different level. I refuse to live my life on the bottom end of the rung of the ladder. I'm climbing a ladder. At 67, I'm still climbing a ladder, not for achievement, but for spirituality. Because achievement is a deadly cancer for your mind, body, and soul. But spirituality, no, that's a balm for your mind, body, and soul. Spirituality, that's where I'm reaching to soar. You know, every night before my wife and I slide into bed and go to sleep, she always says to me, "Now have some prophetic dreams. Have some dreams that are speaking of our life in the spiritual connotation." That, you know, I love that, and it really does keep me alert, even in my sleeping. See, my sleeping, I recognize that God is never sleeping. He never slumbers. In fact, I told somebody one time the reason God seems to speak in the night so much is that he finally has us quiet, and he's finally got us where we're still and paying attention, we're not divided in our attentions. And he may tap us on the shoulder and say, "Excuse me, do you have a minute?" So I do. I pay attention to my dreams. I pay attention to interactions I have through every day, because everything is potentially sacred. One life in front of me today may be the life that's eager to get out of this secular drag they're in. They're getting dragged through life in just the secular grind. And that one life I meet today may be somebody who needs the inspiration of my love to show them, you're not just a human on a spiritual journey. You're a spirit on a very human journey. So that's the first part of the curriculum of your school of love. We're not humans on a spiritual journey. We are spirits on a human journey. Second of all, we got to end this dichotomy, sacred and secular. We got to bring our whole life into a meditation, a prayer, making everything a prayer, everything a meditation. And last but not least, we should awaken and enlarge the possibility of surprises every day, an everyday surprise. Just take in the sacred spiritual nature of a surprise. See, I really do think that one of the reasons we grow old, and I don't mean physically, I mean mentally, emotionally, I think we stop expecting surprises. I really do. You know, as a kid, you know, there was something about the daily surprise, and part of it had to do with every day for a small child is a learning experience. You're going to run into something you never knew before. You're going to find somebody you never met before. You're going to hear a phrase you'd never heard before. You know, now, as an older person, you repeat stuff that you heard as a kid, and it's not nearly as funny now, but it was hilarious. Then had you as a kid laying on the floor laughing. So the difference isn't just that as a child everything was new. The difference is expectation. So in the school of love and in writing the curriculum of your love, expect surprises. In life, expect the unexpected. So there's one thing, expect the unexpected. And in the unexpected, expect the beauty of love. Expect being a person that just knows how to savor stuff. Savor the smallest things, because if you can savor the smallest things, then when the bigger things come along, it's more of a practice to savor the big stuff. Just driving into the radio studio this morning, as I drove into the town of Amory, out of the blue to my right came this gorgeous eagle on the edge of town. You know, where I'm in town and you don't expect wildlife as much, and yet here came this soaring eagle flying over the local waterways here in Amory. Man, that eagle was on the hunt. He was looking for his breakfast. He or she, I can't tell. I don't know the difference, especially when they're soaring like that. But that eagle had an eye for a meal this morning, and that eagle was following a waterway. That brought me to an attention. It gave me that sense of, oh, isn't life good? That's better than dropping $15 to go to a movie theater. I just had a moment of pleasure to see an eagle soaring over my head. And in that, then I started to wonder. I wonder if God, somehow or another, gave that eagle a command to give Randy a little surprise. Give Randy a little bit of a, hi there, guy. Look at me up here flying over your car. I wonder. Now, you know, maybe God did, maybe he didn't, and maybe it's just the eagle looking for a fish. But either way, I'm going to take it as a blessed, beautiful, spiritual, sacred surprise. Learning life, all the days of your life, that there are surprises waiting for you. Now, let me step aside just for 1 minute and remind you that tragedy is also a surprise. Yeah, I know. I've had more than my share. Maybe not more than my share, but as much as anybody of those surprises. Many years ago, when I was just in my 20s, the shocking phone call at 6 in the morning, my mother calling in tears to say that my father had unexpectedly died. It was like somebody had pulled a pin on a grenade and dropped it at my feet. It was stunning. It was shocking. And it took me on a trajectory I had never been on before. I'd never had anybody that close to me die before. And that surprise left me with choices. Now, let me spend a minute on this. When you are surprised by tragedy, you're left with choices. The choice to just get angry about it, the choice to feel so cheated, and to feel as though somebody did something to you. This specifically, that, you know, just to make it extreme here, as if my father planned on dying at my early age. You know, like if I had taken that route, which I did momentarily, then I'm down a path of self-pity. I'm down a path of negativity. I'm down a path that's going to just going to hold me in a pattern of nothingness for way too long. So remember, life is full of surprises, and we ought to savor surprises all the days of our life. But remember, some of those surprises can be powerfully disappointing. They can be profoundly painful. It can stab you in the heart. It can punch you in the gut. And when it does, it's important to take that in. As I started with this broadcast today, to remember you're a human. You're not just a human on a spiritual journey. You're a spirit on a human journey. This is a spiritual moment. When somebody leaves this life in a tragic accident, when somebody disappoints you or even betrays you, and then take that. Now I've got a spiritual moment. On that note, do you know that the most common practice of all Christian churches is communion? The sacraments, the Eucharist, the Lord's table. And do you know that the Lord's table is rooted, it's stationed, its taproot is, in these words, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and wine. Now let that sink in for a minute. In the night of his betrayal, in the very moment where his heart was stabbed by a friend that had walked with him for over 3 years, by someone he had trained and taught and given his very best. His friend betrayed him for money. Oh, money, 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 money. Oh, it just boggles the mind. And in that moment, we all know that Jesus made an epic story of that very betrayal. Because now, when most churches will announce their communion moment, their Eucharist moment, they will say that on the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and a cup. So that tells me, in my curriculum of love, in my school of love, in this one and only life I have to live, I'm the master of my story. My story isn't being written by 15 other people. Or, well, actually, it could be if I surrender to it. Or I'm the master of my own curriculum. I can write my curriculum and discuss it with nobody else. I can discuss it with me. And in fact, it's probably the most important discussion is to discuss those moments with myself. Expect surprises, folks. Expect good surprises. Expect stuff that'll make you laugh, make you cry, and it'll make you know that life is good. It'll make you know that life is unpredictable, but expect surprises and savor them at some level, even if they're painful, even if they're disappointing. Because in savoring the disappointing, you're training yourself. You're in a curriculum, remember? This is the school of love. You're training yourself to savor the positive. Savor the positive. I know that there are so many of us who some of the most excellent surprises in life have been for love. The most beautiful, magnificent moments of surprise have been love. You know, when you find that new house that you've been hoping for, when you discover that somebody wants you to work for them and you've always wanted that job, oh, your heart just blows up with a 4th of July fireworks internally. Oh, that was what I wanted. When you meet the love of your life, when you know this is the person you want to spend your life with, your heart just dances around inside. There's a little waltz going on inside that says, "Woohoo! I have found my love." We know intrinsically, all of us know that along with those kinds of discoveries, there are going to be those other discoveries of pain. But when we take them all together in a curriculum of love, in the school of love, to learn how to be alive to love alone, well, then we can train our mind towards something that is much more successful in all and in total. So that's what I'm here to do week in and week out with you. I'm here as the schoolmaster. I'm giving you homework. Now go home and work on recognizing you're not a human on a spiritual journey. You're a spirit on a human journey. Number two, remember there's no dichotomy between sacred and secular. Everything's sacred. Everything is sacred, from digging a hole to plant a tree to going to church and singing a song. Everything is sacred. And remember, in the school of love, remember, life is full of surprises, and may you learn to expect delightful, good surprises. And when the negative surprise comes, take it as well as a moment to learn, as a teachable moment for yourself, and know that nothing can be lost if you're in the school of love. Let's go to the closing exercises. I enjoy taking you along with me on these closing exercises on Alive to Love, all lesser values or potential BS. I love teaching and training people. It's been my lifelong passion. It is just how I eat, sleep, and breathe and gain energy to get up another day. I want to do some training. I want to help. I want to be a schoolmaster in the school of love. One thing you and I could do better, and that is we could learn how to breathe better. As simple as that sounds, you and I both could learn how to breathe more rhythmically and more deeply on a consistent basis. It'll slow your heart rate down, it'll lower your blood pressure, and it'll also get you in a meditative mood more easily than anything you could imagine. So on the count of three, I want you to take a deep breath. Make sure you put it down in the bottom quarters of your lung. Hold it down there in that basement of your lungs. Just hold it for a few seconds and then exhale. On the count of three. One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it there. And exhale. One more time. Do it. On the count of three. One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it. And exhale. That's good. That's good for you, too. And the second thing I want you to do is, I know I sound like a broken record with this, but it's one of those, just those simple practices of life. It's learning how to slow yourself down when you're greeting people that are meaningful to you. Slow it down and tell people you love them, remembering that some people haven't heard that in hours, days, weeks, or maybe years. Give them the benefit of hearing the words, I love you, in a meaningful way that can impact them for the better on any given day. Look somebody in the eye and say, I love you. I know. In the day of social distancing, that feels weird. But I'm telling you, it is all the more necessary in the day of social distancing that we learn how to say, I love you. I'm so honored, so pleased that you chose to join me today on this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values are potential BS. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Really. Tell your friends about this broadcast here on Saturdays and Sundays. Make sure they get the chance to pop in and sign up for the School of Love. I think that's a good idea, because in this School of Love, we're going to learn to go out there and do something beautiful. Because, oh, baby, ugly has been done to death. Thanks for being here today. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'm alive to love.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.